Natasha Matafax and James Davis.
Yes, hello and welcome to day two of Clusterfest. I was told yesterday that day one, everybody in San Francisco told me that this is not usually the great weather. They were like, this is not normally how it is. It was nice, it was sunny, it was slightly warm. Was that what you all experienced?
The weather here is the worst thing about San Francisco, especially in this, it's so freezing.
That and the disappearing middle class. But yes, also... Also, the rain.
As soon as Ice Cube was done singing "Today Was a Good Day," it wasn't. It was cold. It was very cold.
Now, James, I saw you last night. You have this bit with Obama.
Yes.
And Obama is using the gear shift of a car to talk about America.
Mm-hmm.
It got such a raucous response here at the Bill Graham Auditorium. Is that to usually the response you get?
Or do you usually bomb with that joke?
You know, I've never bombed with that joke, but I have had people in certain parts of Florida come to me afterwards and, can I talk to you about that last joke? But in general, no, it always kills. But last night, it was like a kind of rolling roar that I hadn't experienced before. Normally, it's kind of a roar at the end of the joke, but the appreciation for the joke started before I was even done.
Right.
It was probably the best moment of my life.
Now, Natasha, on your CD, Coke Money, way back in 2011, you predicted all of this. You had a track about reality stars where you're like Bristol Palin, you're mocking her, and you're saying, well, Sarah Palin's going to run for president, Donald Trump.
I was soon Donald Trump will turn the presidency into a reality show. I should get more credit for that.
Right. So how do you feel about that now?
Awful.
Do you want credit for that?
You put it into the universe and it accepted it.
I mean, this is a horrifying time we're living in.
Right. Do you wish
That's
you...
It.
Would it be better if we went back to another period?
Is that a pun on my show?
The show that you star in and co-create?
Well,
Comedy,
you know,
Central, new season coming in 2017.
Thank you. One thing we have learned from studying the Gilded Age on the show I do, another period, is that things really are just a circle, and it was pretty bad then as well. You know, I mean, people didn't pay income tax, and so everyone was, you know, the rich were
right.
Like richer. You know, they had. I think Rockefeller had like $1 billion in 1902. And then when they introduced income tax, people couldn't live with 30 servants anymore. But now we're at a time where everyone's figuring out how to legally not pay taxes. And, you know, we're basically in the same position.
Well, at least your show, though, is a nice counterpoint to Handmaid's Tale on Hulu.
It's, yeah. That show's so great.
Kyle, do you have any... Kyle Kinane is the voice of Comedy Central. Yeah. He has multiple hour specials on there, and he's also the legit voice for the network.
That's me.
Do you have any...
This garbage truck is telling you when your shows are on.
Do we
need these for recording purposes?
Yeah.
Like, is this...
The posterity.
We're right there.
Do you...
Trust me, I know how to project. I'm the voice of Comedy Central.
Do you have any bits that you look back on as that were quite as prophetic as Natasha's is about the presidency turning into a reality show?
Well, I guess I knew I was going to get gout at some point, and that happened. But that wasn't so much a worldly forecast as it was more introspective. No, I don't. My bits aren't conceptual and hard to get. It's like farts and bicycles, man. It's not... Nothing intellectual.
Ah. That would seem like, you know, we were talking not backstage, but in front of the stage before the show.
You mean in this room, right?
Yeah,
there.
In this room before the show about your reluctance to be on Snapchat and the like.
Yeah.
Isn't farts and
bicycles... Nobody wants to be on Snapchat.
I do.
Yeah.
I own that Snapchat stuff.
That's, right.
I would literally would not be here if it wasn't for Snapchat.
Right. You have a new show coming out this month on Comedy Central.
Hood Adjacent with James Davis, June 28th.
And that's how much you had a show on Snapchat for Comedy Central.
Right.
Swagasaurus.
So I had a live show at the Nerd Melt in Hollywood called Urban Dictionary. Some friends at Comedy Central saw that and we're like, how do we put this on Snapchat? We figured out a way. It was called Swagosaurus, where I was pretty much defining slash explaining things from the urban zeitgeist to the mainstream, but in not patronizing kind of way, but in an inclusive kind of way. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of their top performing Snapchat shows, and then they gave me a pilot, and
and can I clarify? I mean, that's like not, that's not the Snapchat I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, you know, I go on Instagram stories and my friends are putting on their shoes.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm
no,
like,
I need, like,
why am I watching this?
No, I need like Comedy Central's crew.
Yeah, yeah, like that's like a real thing.
How do you know, how do you know if you have a hit Snapchat show?
Huh?
How do you know if you have a hit Snapchat show?
They tell you. Well, they give
there's
you,
no like
they,
Nielsen ratings, no, it's, for it, though.
But it is kind of like regular television. They give you an order, and everybody's Snapchat show doesn't come back. And mine kept on coming back, kept on coming back. And then people were hitting me up on my regular, like, boring Snapchat, like, you're great on Snapchat. And I was like, oh, you must be talking about the Comedy Central one, because my life is boring. But when I get on Comedy Central, magic. So, but yeah, it's been really fun to use a platform that I myself had underestimated. I'm like, Natasha, I feel like I don't want to see damn near 10 seconds of my life, let alone someone else's. But it's crazy that you can actually use that short amount of time, and then the Discover Channel, where it can maybe go to a minute and a minute and a half, and people are coming and watching that show just like one of their other regular favorite shows.
I'm going to be big on the thing that's after Snapchat.
Do you know what that is?
Wow, man, that's the mystery, isn't it?
You're going to be part of the anti-technology revolution.
Yeah, just street performance. I'm going to be real big at street theater.
Now, I want to get DJ Mad FX into the conversation.
Now we've heard enough out of him.
Do you use Snapchat musically?
I did. Insta story now, but yeah,
Insta
you know,
story, right? Yeah, it's all about Insta story.
About as much as any other 25-year-old, I think.
Well, you're the music supervisor for Broad City on Comedy Central.
Correct.
How did you get involved with Abby and Alana? And
I had a real kind of fluke experience supervising when I was 18 on a really random show. I was a college dropout. The show got canceled. I went to throwing parties and DJing, and that's when I started kind of doing that stuff. And then out of the blue, the assistant editor of that first show called me 4 years later and was like, Matt, hope you're well. I'm working on this new show. It's not working out with our music guy. It's going to air in 5 weeks. Can you come in and meet the girls? And it's Abby and Alana. And, like, I grew up in New York, so, like, knowing those, like, I went to high school with those girls. Like, two Jewesses trying to make a buck describes half of my female friends. Like, I've had iPod duty at their house in high school all throughout. And so I think naturally, like, choosing the music, it was, right, like, a very natural fit.
What kind of balance do you find in terms of picking songs that mainstream audiences know versus songs that you think fit but nobody may have heard it before?
A kind of open secret, I think, is that we got one or two known songs a year because that's all we can afford. That's like...
Our show gets zero. Yeah. So just see.
We get one, and it's always like, oh, which one are we going to do? You know, right. And, you know, it was Drake in season one, and season two was Lady Gaga. But now that we're a little farther, you know, we've got some fun stuff coming up this season.
I was
going to
say, can you give us a hint of what the...
Nothing. I will give you nothing about the new season.
What about the bands we don't know that you got for cheap?
Oh, sure. I mean, there's a song by an artist called Bryn Mawr, and it's called Like a Boss. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very excited for the scene that I think we're going to wind up putting it in this season.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a big one for sure. And the track we're using for the sizzle reel is a throwback. It is not something people have heard in a while, and I think people are going to be really excited once the ads come out.
How do you feel personally about, you know, you also are doing DJ sets here. How do you feel personally about the whole mashing up songs in the past with,
I think
new
it's
amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so much fun. I mean, anything that can kind of get people to loosen up is a good thing. And
all right,
you know, Wayne's World today with Abby, I'm so excited. Even just like, I'm so excited to see what they do.
You haven't talked to them?
Not about Wayne's World. We've just been working on season 4.
All right. Now, Natasha, I got to see you and your husband Moshe Kasher perform last night on different shows, but watching the two of you, it's interesting how well your sets complemented each other. You performed on the earlier show and talked about feet, and then you got to hear Moshe's perspective on...
Well, I didn't talk about feet. I just said that there's no woman who's ever jerked off to feet.
I didn't want to give it all away.
It's true, though.
Right. But the, I think it's motion.
You're back in the closet now. Listen, Malik, I think I can finally be honest with people. Now you do that. Well, me and my fetish alone at home.
But it's interesting. It was interesting to see you on back-to-back shows and see how the material really complements each other, in terms of like you give your position on trying to have kids, and then on the next show, Moshe has a completely different perspective on it. Is that?
I mean, okay, yeah. He's the one who wants the kids.
Oh.
I hope that's coming across in the sets.
Do you guys ever do bits where you find out about each other through the bit before you find out personally? Like,
I mean,
Moshe's doing a joke like, "I want kids." You're like, "Oh well, we didn't talk about this."
That's funny. No, I mean, one thing Moshe told me when we met, he was like, "You can say anything you want, I will never care." So that was kind of nice.
That could be taken in so many ways.
Well, I mean, on stage, he doesn't care. Okay. No, he was like, "You can say whatever you want about me," because mm-hmm. I've, you know, dated comedians before who maybe didn't want me to talk about our personal lives. So that's just a nice, generous thing he said to me. I do not feel the same way for him.
Is that what made is that what made him the one? Was that he didn't care?
No. That's not it.
What was it?
I mean, I feel on the spot now. Well, this is hard because I want to think about what I'm gonna say before you know.
Okay. Kyle, what do you think it was that made Moshe the one? Is this getting problematic?
More like the zinger over here. It's
a comedian. Go back to Natasha. She's just...
Well, James, tell the people a little bit more about Hood Adjacent.
I knew Hood Adjacent was the one.
Or some of those roars you've been getting from the crowd.
Other than it's debuting on June 28th on Comedy Central.
Hood Adjacent is my ode to how I grew up in Los Angeles and grew up in general, as far as someone who grew up in South Central, but not the stereotypical South Central you see in the movies. I have a joke where I'm like, I'm not from the Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, South Central, Hunger Games, that's not my district. But that's the case. Like, I grew up a block away from where it really got bad. So my perspective is I am very comfortable, and I consider the worst parts of the hood my neighborhood, but I also went to a private middle school. I went to a liberal arts college. So areas of rich wealth and white entitlement are my comfort zones as well. And so I walk between two different worlds, and just like other shows that unpack topics, I'm unpacking topics that matter to both my friends in the hood and my friends in the mainstream. And I'm talking about these topics in a way where either the hood is learning about something that I've become an expert about in the mainstream world, or the mainstream is learning about something that I'm very familiar with, having grown up around the hood. And I can also just talk about any topic, not necessarily just something that's personal to me, from that unique perspective. And Comedy Central has given me 22 minutes a week to have fun with that.
So it's really a show that brings us all together.
In a way. I mean, like, back in the day, there was the black people, white people jokes. Like, black people do this, white people do this. And I'm somebody who does both. And I'm here to show white people, hey, some of that white people stuff that we were talking about, there's black people doing that too. I have a golf episode, but I have a black ass show. It's black people playing golf. I'm showing you images of golf that you don't get to see, but I know it's real, but you're not gonna see on CBS at 2 o'clock on Sunday the golf beef tournament that happens at Chester Washington Golf Course on Western and El Segundo, but you do at Hood Adjacent. And I also have an episode about gangs where I'm showing the world that, okay, we've seen the image of gangs on First 48, the news at 11. We've seen that side of gangs, but there's another side of gangs. And I'm not discounting the bad side of gangs, but every gang member isn't about to do criminal activity. Some people join gangs for other reasons, and they're still very charismatic, funny, humorous people who can be members of gangs who you want to learn their story. And so I'll show you that side. Just like we can discount the shady past of politicians and we just focus on their positive side, for 22 minutes I'm asking you to forget about the shady side of gangs for a second and learn about their positive side. And you have to come from, I guess, my perspective to even want to show that.
Matt, are there any songs that were going through your head as you're listening to James?
He's probably thinking of my song.
Are you sort of like thinking about the how the soundtrack for that plays out?
For sure. I don't think I could afford any of them though. But yeah, no.
What kind of music would you pick for the golf beef tournament?
I would want to have fun with that for sure. I don't know, something that like plays the juxtaposition. I think something that would make people laugh. I think on both sides, as he was saying, you know, and maybe like sample it and turn it into a beat halfway through. And I'm sure there's a montage in there somewhere.
Something like that. Yeah. Or maybe you could like just sample some like music that they play. Like, you remember when the Masters comes on?
It's always
like that nice, soft, like wave sounding music, but then you like put some 808 under there
chop it up
and screw it and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
I mean, I actually rapped a song about me being hood adjacent for fun like 2 years ago, and that ended up being the inspiration for the music video that is the promotion for the show right now. So I don't know if you got any shows where hood adjacent is being mentioned, but I got a song on Comedy Central right now.
Shoot me over.
Somebody in this building can hook it up.
What about for the another period, the Gilded Age in Newport, Rhode Island?
No, I love what you guys do with the music there, because that's exactly what it is. It's like that sort of juxtaposition of the old school classical thing and then some beats, and it like keeps it fun, keeps it funny. I mean, it's great.
Is there, but she, you know, Natasha said she doesn't get any big songs.
You don't need to. If you make it work, you make it work.
And you make beats for the show. It's not like, I mean, you can still create music without taking famous songs.
Yeah,
you can.
What music from that period could you not afford?
Well, no, that's true.
Like, who's still alive?
You owe
me royalties.
No, it's all public domain. It's public domain, and then we have Cyrus and my brother Nick. Does the music as well, and we turn those classical songs into.
Have you worked with your brother before in projects like this?
No, this is the first time.
How is that?
It's good. Yeah. It was hard because we just couldn't find the tone, and I knew he was really good at making beats and, you know, just taking these classical pieces and kind of turning them around a little bit. So.
Okay. Now, this is the first Clusterfest in San Francisco. You guys have performed at other festivals in North America. How does this experience compare so far?
I've always heard amazing stuff about San Francisco in general as a place to stand-up comedy. So this is my first time doing stand-up comedy in the city of San Francisco. So in general, this is my first taste of their audience, and their audience is amazing. Like, my first show in room 415, I told my first joke, and there was just this feedback that I had never felt before. So to have a whole festival situated in a city that is so embracing of comedy just elevates the festival altogether. Because a lot of festivals bring the spirit of comedy to a place where maybe they don't care about comedy year-round. But this place...
I mean, they have a two-month festival every year.
Yeah, exactly.
For comedy.
Right, SF Sketchfest.
It's so long.
Right.
Right?
It's the entire month of January and a little bit of February.
So the energy is just... it's just on another level. And then, like, the NBA Finals are happening right now, too. So there's just a buzz in the city. Like, everything is all coming together. It's lit.
So if you have a show tomorrow on Sunday and it's up against Game 2 of the NBA Finals, how do you sell people on coming to your show?
I'm better than basketball. Well, guess what? They'll replay the NBA Finals at least 4 or 5 times before the next game. This shit is one night only, baby.
It's a good sales point.
San Francisco is my favorite place to do comedy. I did my special here, and it just feels like...
Live at Bimbo's.
Yes, and it does feel like you're right. It's just the best crowds. Everyone's smart. They're very liberal. They get it. We all hate the same things.
It's a city that will invent time travel. to go back to the San Francisco of 20 years ago, so that's going to be exciting. So it's not so many dudes on hoverboards vaping past you, knowing that they're soon to be billionaires in their early 20s.
What is it about 1997?
Oh, 20 man, years ago. 97, good times.
But weed is legal today, baby. Today.
Man, you could always get weed if you wanted weed. No, I think I've loved performing here. I've recorded my first hour-long special with Comedy Central here at the Fillmore. And you do notice the changing, like just the change in the crowds. I've noticed a little bit how it has become more wealthy youngsters, the tech industry folks, that are a little bit more, like, I don't want to shit on it, but it's a little bit like, ah, man, you could be more fun. but it's not like, I like the crusters and the band scumbags and the bike riders and everything, and those are kind of getting pushed out a little bit. But it is, like, I mean, you've got a whole city that you're closed off. You've got 7 miles by 7 miles. So as far as in the event of an emergency, you're fucked. But in the event of something fun, you're right there, you know? It's like, we're not going to spread out. We're all right here on top of one another. And then there's an awesome thing going right in the middle of the city. Let's go to it.
I feel like the Tenderloin, at least, has stayed the same.
Yeah.
While the rest of the
city
is changing.
Give it 6 months.
I think we have some other press people here, so we have time if anybody has any questions.
Awesome.
Sweet. All right, well, before we wrap up.
No one has any questions? That's impressive.
No, I know.
We covered it all.
So before we close.
No one wants to know more about Hood Adjacent?
Well, I was going to say, before we close, we'll give everybody a chance
I love you, Natasha.
We'll give everybody a chance to plug.
Matter of fact, Comedy Central passed on my script 2 weeks ago, but what kind of music do you think would have fit over that?
take
a wild guess.
Matt, when you look at Kyle, what kind of music plays through your head?
Like cigar box guitar music, you
there
know,
you
like
go.
Banjo
yep,
stuff.
You got it. You know? you're good at your job. You know what's up.
But one by one, what do you have coming up here this weekend at Clusterfest, and what have you got going on that you want to plug?
I'm on the New Negro show tonight in the room 415 with Baron Vaughn, Roy Wood Jr. And New Negroes is actually a show that I think I picked up for a pilot or something, or it's moving in Comedy Central, so that's about to be popping. And then my show premieres June 28th. My pilot / first episode is about to be crazy. We did a trap cover of the national anthem. I'm gonna just leave y'all with that.
Matt?
I'll be DJing today throughout on the Bill Graham stage in between Abby and Alana and Hannibal and Tig and the Wayne's World thing. It's going to be so much fun. And then in terms of plugging Broad City Season 4 in August, I have never had more fun working on a show than this season. We went in so many different crazy directions. Really exciting. And if you guys haven't seen Detroiters as well, I worked on that. That just wrapped up on Comedy Central as well.
Natasha?
I have a show at 3:15 this afternoon, a matinee, if you will. Another period, season 3, we're finishing up editing, and that'll be premiering, I believe, early 2018. And I'm going on a tour with my husband, honeymoon tour, and we're going to go to a bunch of cities, Philadelphia, Chicago, Atlanta.
Romantic.
Yeah. And taking some time off in between to visit the cool destinations around that area.
Sweet. Kyle?
I'm on that board over there. I think I got to check it myself once I get off the stage. I'm not quite sure, but it's in this building and it's right. Today. So, you know, meet me over there and I'll point out which one of those little yellow blocks I'm on. Well, thank you very much. 5 o'clock. 4:15? What's the room?
4:15.
Yeah, at 5 o'clock in the 4:15 room. All great comedy happens in something that sounds like a classroom. And I'm doing comedy room 4:15, right next to social studies. And you can hear me announce everybody else's show on Comedy Central. So, man, I'm around. You got the internet. I can look it up. Google it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm out there.
Well, thank you all for participating in this fireside chat. No fire, plenty of chat. Thanks for being here. My name's Sean
McCarthy. Thank you, guys.